Have you ever been called a hoarder when, in fact, you were just involved in prepping activities? Yeah, a lot of people who aren't preppers, they don't understand the difference between prepping and hoarding. And when I say hoarding, at least in this context, I'm referring to the activity of stuffing your entire house or, you know, your apartment or whatever it is with so much stuff that you're climbing over things that you can't even walk around. I'm talking about a level of dysfunction that is off the charts where you can't even get to the kitchen to make food. You can't even use the sink because it's full of dishes and so on. And some people misunderstand what is prepping versus what is hoarding. And in my view, it's very simple. The difference comes down to organization. So there is value in saving almost everything that is physical if you think about the possibility of a total collapse of society. So it's not weird or wrong or a mental illness to think things like, maybe I should save these paper plates, not used ones, but I mean new ones, or maybe I should save these old phone books. You know, those can be used as an emergency backup source of fire starters or even toilet paper in a pinch, right? And there's even a use for plastic bags, and there's a use for pieces of metal that you might normally throw away, but understanding the supply chain disruption of minerals and metals because of the situation with Russia and Ukraine, you may realize that, there's going to be a shortage of copper and aluminum and tungsten and palladium and cobalt and manganese and all these minerals. So suddenly it actually makes sense to save, for example, old electrical wiring. Why? Because there's copper in there. And there might be nickel in there. And to save the old brass from expended ammunition makes a lot of sense, especially with the price of brass. So the only real difference between prepping and hoarding is that in hoarding, people aren't well organized and they allow too much stuff to take over their entire physical space to the point where they can't function in a normal manner. That's when you know you've got a problem with too much stuff, which is typically called hoarding. It's not about the amount of stuff. It's about whether it's interfering with your life. It's about the level of organization. So if you had a giant barn, let's say, next to your house, and you had that barn stuffed with 1,000,000 pounds of old used wire and old used metal parts and old, tires or whatever, or electronic components or old radios, old TVs, old appliances and things like that, that's not insane if it's organized. That's not insane at all. That's actually a source of spare parts and spare wiring and maybe even spare circuit boards and so on. You know, there are entire junkyards of cars out in a giant field, and it becomes a business. It's called pull a part. You go in there and you go find the part that you want, and then you pay them for the part. And all those old cars and trucks, they have all these parts that are perfectly good. So it is reasonable and rational to understand that even things that people might throw away, such as an old microwave, for example, there are components in that microwave that could be very useful in a collapse scenario, depending on how bad the collapse gets, of course. In fact, I've talked about the rise of salvage operations and that there will be new teams of people who professionally salvage for a living. I've even talked about how certain areas, counties or cities may auction off salvaging rights to abandoned residential homes and perhaps even commercial buildings, because the die-off is going to be so severe from multiple causes. You know, the vaccine, for example, the famine, starvation, violence, who knows what else, all kinds of things, that there will be homes which have a tremendous amount of valuable things inside the home. No one lives there anymore. No one has claimed the homes, no surviving family members and so on. So they'll just auction it off to a salvage team. A salvage team will go in there and take all the appliances, They might even disassemble the entire house and just strip the wiring down and salvage the lumber. I don't know. They take the PEX pipes out of the plumbing system. Who knows? It's hard to predict exactly how far they'll go in terms of stripping everything down. But it's not difficult to imagine they would take all the appliances out and go in there and look for, obviously, jewelry and firearms and ammunition, clothing and bedspreads and shower curtains and all these things. They all have value. It's not junk. It's not garbage. It's not hoarding to have these things. It's just a matter of organization. So no matter how much stuff you have stored, if it is relatively organized and you know where it is and you can get to it and you're not clogging up every walking space in your house, then you're doing okay. Here's a good example of this. It's kind of a joke, but it's also kind of serious. So let's say you have a primary stairway in your home to go from the first floor to the second floor. So prepping is when the side of your stairway has boxes of stuff on it, but you can still get up and down the stairs. Hoarding is when the entire stairway is covered with so many boxes that you have to hike up the stairway by walking on the boxes. That's hoarding. Prepping is when you can still make it up and down the stairway, okay? You know, it's not crazy to use the side of your stairs to store, I don't know, cans of freeze-dried food, for example. That's not crazy. It's a practical place to put things, actually. Okay, another example. Prepping is when you have so much stuff in your garage that you have to park your car outside because your car no longer fits in the garage. You've just decided you're going to use your garage for storage. That's prepping. Hoarding is when you have so much stuff in your garage, you can't close the garage door. That's hoarding, and that's a problem. All right, prepping is when you have a bunch of stuff underneath your bed because that's a storage space. It's a great place to put things underneath your bed. Hoarding is when you have so much stuff on your bed that you can't even sleep on your bed. That's a hoarding problem. I mean, you no longer have a bed. All right, prepping is when, I mean, it's normal to have, let's say, tables in your home that have projects on them. You might be setting up a sewing machine on a table. It might be hard to find an available surface, but you can still find one for eating breakfast and what have you, even though you have other projects going on. That's normal. Hoarding is when you have no space remaining in your house. It's so bad you have to eat outside. That's hoarding. That's a problem. That's when it becomes an interference with your normal life. All right, another example. Prepping is when you can still walk through your house. You still have ways to get from room to room and from the kitchen to the bathroom and so on. But you might have still a lot of stuff around. You might have shelves. You might have boxes. And that's normal, again, as long as it's organized. Hoarding is when you have so much stuff that if there's a fire, you can't get out. That's obviously a problem. And some hoarders have died because they couldn't get out and burned up with all their stuff. Also, I suppose one other difference, prepping is when you tend to save things that have practical value. Hoarding is when you save things that have no real practical value, except maybe a sentimental value, like, oh, you wanted to save that Big Mac wrapper because you had a good experience the day you ate that Big Mac at McDonald's and that wrapper reminds you of a friend you spoke to or something, and so you end up not throwing away fast food garbage. All right, that's hoarding. That's a problem. That's something you need to deal with. And one final thought on all of this. I know some of you reading this or listening, you have pristine homes. Everything's clean. Everything's organized. Everything's tucked away. And I admire you. I'm kind of jealous because that's not what my home is like. I have so many projects going on. I've got even mobile workbenches on wheels, and each workbench has a different project, so I can roll them into the active area to work on things. I might have 3D printers on one. I might have a holster making system on another, a vacuum food saving thing on another one, or a food dehydrator and so on. I'm doing a lot of things. They're all practical things, but I have a lot of things. I have a lot of rolling workbenches, basically. That's how I do it. That's my modular system. But some people have pristine homes and there's almost nothing in it. And what I found in my experience, people who tend to have pristine homes, they're great people. They just don't have much in the way of preparedness. They tend to have very thin cupboards, we might say, or not very deep. They don't have much food around. And they tend to be people who go to the grocery store more frequently and buy smaller volumes of things. Even the refrigerators are incredibly organized, which is an amazing feat. And they don't have any old food in the fridge. You know, you can see the back of the refrigerator when you open the door. That's pretty impressive, actually. They don't have expired food in their cupboards and so on. And they can even live with just one refrigerator, which is also pretty impressive. People who are preppers will tend to have something like a freezer chest, and they'll have a lot of frozen goods in there. Or they might have a second refrigerator dedicated to keeping seeds or extending the shelf life of almonds or cashews or things they have, or grains, you know, wheat berries. You put wheat berries in the refrigerator in a sealed container, they can last a very long time. And even when you lose power, well, you just take the wheat berries out. They're still going to last a long time, but during the time they were in the refrigerator, they were aging at a slower rate. So it actually makes sense to use refrigeration or to use a freezer. And preppers will tend to have a second fridge and a second freezer in their garage, typically, is where it goes. And that's perfectly normal. That's not hoarding. That's just prepping. So when you're in the process of stockpiling some of these really critical things, like nylon thread, for example, if you anticipate the total collapse of, you know, high-tech manufacturing capabilities or advanced polymers made from petroleum, by the way, if we lose that system, you know, the price of nylon thread is going to just go ballistic. And so you're stockpiling some nylon thread and you have, I don't know, 12 spools of thread. That's not hoarding. That's actually a really smart investment, because the stuff lasts basically forever. And the utility of it is priceless in a collapse scenario when you need it. And think about this. What's the price of a sewing needle, you know? What's the value of a Bic lighter? Is it worth stockpiling Bic lighters? And yes, I say Bic on purpose, because I've purchased other like no-name lighters, and they're horrible. They suck, and they lose their fuel over time. I've only found Bic lighters to be reliable. And this is one of the few times I actually recommend a kind of a popular brand name, but Bic is the way to go on lighters. But these things are going to be insanely valuable and practical and life-saving in a collapse scenario. So having, I don't know, a couple of cases of 100 Bic lighters, that's not hoarding. That's actually smart investing, smart prepping. You'll be able to trade a lighter for pretty high value item, maybe ammunition or food or some pieces of silver, who knows, in a collapse. So don't feel guilty about prepping. Don't let anybody tell you that you're a hoarder when you're actually just doing the smart thing of gathering up the things that are going to vanish or that might vanish. And we don't know 100% for sure where all this is going, but we have some pretty strong clues given the supply chain shutdown and the economic debanking and deplatforming that has already been initiated on a global scale. Yeah, it's going to get very crazy. It's no longer a theory. I mean, look at the supply chain collapse affecting vehicles right now, or appliances, or circuit boards. Just about anything that you want to buy right now that has circuit boards in it is delayed by 6 months to a year. So this is not a theory. This is fact that we're living through right now. And speaking of facts, the people who fail to prepare are going to be the ones who are desperate, and they're going to be begging you for some of your supplies if they are aware that you have them. one day they'll remember, oh, I know somebody who has a Bic lighter or who bought some sewing thread and I need to repair this canvas tent or something. And then they're going to come to you and they're going to ask for some of your stuff. And then you get to decide what you think it's worth and what you're going to ask for it. Like, yeah, sure. Here, I have 1,000 yards of nylon thread. Rugged stuff. Very rugged stuff. Okay. I'll give that to you in exchange for 9 chickens. Egg-laying hens. How about that? 9 hens in exchange for 1,000 yards of nylon thread. Do you have 9 hens? You know, and then you do the barter. Oh, you don't have 9 hens? Okay. I'll take 250 rounds of 5.56 ammo, full metal jacket. How about that? So you figure out what it's worth, you do a deal, and now, boom, you've just made an incredible decision in terms of being prepared and also helping others get prepared too. So think about all of this as you get prepared, and you will thank yourself during this entire process. And if all the emergencies of the world cease, suddenly everything's great, and you end up with a lot of stuff, guess what? All that stuff is useful stuff anyway. You've lost nothing. You've probably made a good decision because you're beating price inflation by buying those items now, knowing that the dollar is going to lose value. So those items will be a lot more expensive in the future, even if things turn around and we don't end up in a world war. So there's no downside to buying now things that might be really useful down the road. Think about that.